This Week in Agriculture is a production of the Red River Farm Network. With a look at this week in the markets, I'm Jamie Dickerman. Well, the grain trade braced for one of the biggest weeks of the summer as USDA released its quarterly grain stocks and acreage report. Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson talked about the combination of those reports, contract rolls, and a shortened holiday trading week that puts up plenty of volatility.
You know, we got first notice on the July contracts, so the guys will be rolling those or getting out of their July contracts, you know, by Monday. You got Tuesday, we got the quarterly grain stocks report, which will tell us about old crop demand for the grains. We got the acreage report, which will give us an idea of where our, you know, 26 acres are going to be. That will be the number that gets used. And then we also have a short week, you know, it's the 4th of July holiday.
The USDA acreage and quarterly grain stocks report offered several supportive surprises for the grain trade. Van On & Company's Christy Van On said the corn market received the biggest boost from stronger than expected demand reflected in the grain stocks report.
So when you look at the quarterly grain stocks, we've got two sets of information: acreage, stocks. Stocks is a check-in point for what we have on hand, how our usage is going. Ended up coming in below expectations, below the range of expectations even, at a 5.295 billion bushel quarterly grain stock number, average estimate 5.4. So about 100, 110 million bushel lower than anticipated. So that's a good thing. That is telling us that our demand is strong like we anticipated it. It's going to hint at possibly USDA continuing to increase exports because they've been running so strong.
StoneX chief commodities economist Arlen Suderman says the biggest surprise came from the significant reduction in U.S. wheat acreage.
That cut pretty much everybody by surprise. Big decline there, especially in winter wheat acres, which you expect to be pretty well set by now. But USDA losing a million acres of wheat, that helps support wheat prices. Corn stocks coming in a little over 100 million bushels less than expected. You put that together with the March numbers, and it suggests that USDA overstated the size of last year's crop. A lot of farmers are cheering and say, we told you so, type of a thing.
With a continued downturn in acreage, wheat is becoming a specialty crop in the U.S., according to Eugene Graner with Heartland Investor Services.
It's becoming a cover crop, it seems like, and we're letting the third world countries grow it, like Russia and Ukraine. Note that it was not only the U.S., Stats Canada put their acreage number out for wheat, and between their numbers and our numbers, yes, it is a small North American wheat crop. We're the smallest acreage in the U.S. by 150 years.
While weather has improved crop prospects across much of the Northern Plains, uncertainty remains in the wheat market. North Dakota Wheat Commission Executive Director Jim Peterson says both crop quality and production issues outside the U.S. could still influence prices.
Probably for us, from a production standpoint, the thing that would give us more price potential is in Canada. They had a late planting season, especially get up into the more central northern parts of their provinces. Just had a lot of rain of recent, you know, some more field flooding. I think the concerns there are late harvest as well as just the quality of the crop with that much rain. So I think that's a potential wild card that could boost prices.
Canadian farmers planting more canola, barley, corn, and soybeans this year. According to StatsCan, canola seedings are record high, up more than 8% from 2025. Barley acreage north of the border up 9.3%. Corn acreage grew nearly 5%. Canadian soybean acreage rose more than 3%, with Manitoba acreage record high, up 16%. These gains coming at the expense of wheat, down nearly 6% year over year. With a look at this week in the market, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network. President Donald Trump making his fourth appearance in the state of North Dakota this week, coming to Medora to dedicate the Theodore Roosevelt Presidential Library.
But today we come to the heartland of America to pay tribute to a man who embodied the heart and soul and fight and spirit of our country as much as anyone who ever lived. And he's a very special man, and that's why I'm here, President Theodore Roosevelt. And he loved your community, he loved your state, and he was quite something. He was really quite something.
North Dakota Grain Growers Association members among those attending President Trump's visit to Medora. Dickinson area farmer and past North Dakota Grain Growers Association President Ed Kessel says the president's visit was both historic and encouraging for agriculture.
Yeah, it was great to see the president out here, you know, celebrate America's 250th, and kind of an honor to have him out this way in western North Dakota. So great speech to listen to. Sun was shining, but the wind wasn't blowing. It was warm.
Also in attendance, North Dakota Senator John Hovind said the administration's focus on ag, energy, and trade is creating new opportunities for farmers across the state.
He's got the right policies to put in place. We're an ag powerhouse. We're an energy powerhouse. He just wants to build on those. My Crack the Code 2.0 initiative, we're going to double the amount of energy we produce, not only oil and gas, but electricity. And he's putting, you know, the things in place that help us do that. Secretary Wright, Secretary Burgum, they're helping us. We're leading the way. We're going to do things in energy. We're going to do things in agriculture. We're the national test site now for agriculture. We got a policy center at NDSU. And that's what he's doing. He's empowering us and other states around the country to do, as what you said, be strong now, but even stronger and better in the future.
Senator Kevin Cramer said the president continues to make farmers a priority.
You know, it's so funny. I had dinner last week over at the vice president's residence. A handful of us were invited over to meet with him and Steve Witkoff to talk about the Iranian situation, as they had just come back from some negotiations. And so it was good to get briefed by them. The vice president said, yeah, no, the money, and everybody needs to understand this, the money that we're willing to give back to them, we're not going to give them the money. We're going to buy agriculture products for humanitarian aid over there and send that. And we're going to name the price of the commodity. And I said, and I think it was Joey said, well, yeah, the farmers were like that. I said, yeah, especially with $15 a bushel corn.
One of the components of the USDA's One Farmer, One File initiative is the modernization of acreage reporting. USDA Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation Richard Fordyce says the goal is to move away from office visits and paper maps.
We're going to be able to actually report acres on a geospatial digital map and an interactive map. And once they click on the field, they can put the, they'll go to the crop code in the, on the side. They'll put their crop in there. When they enter the crop, a calendar will pop up. You hit the calendar date for the date that that crop or that field is planted. When that's all done, you get that farm done, then you literally have reported that farm.
U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar announcing plans to grow Minnesota's farm and rural economy, bringing her gubernatorial campaign to western Minnesota this week.
Well, we know there's a lot of headwinds right now, and I don't want to minimize them, but they can't be an excuse. So to me, it means looking at new markets, domestic and international. I am very focused, knowing, having worked on 3 farm bills successfully now, working on a 4th, of the kind of things we can do to steer some of our products into new markets. Sustainable aviation fuel, great example. Work going on in the state and the federal. Minnesota should be in the lead. That's going to be a whole new market for us. Taking some of our things, even sugar beets, putting them into bioproducts, another market.
With a look at this week in the news, I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
This Week in Weather, a presentation of the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. Well, some severe weather possibility as we go through this holiday weekend. There was severe thunderstorms earlier in the week, bringing destructive winds, hail, and isolated tornadoes to parts of the northern plains. Some of the hardest hit areas were in central South Dakota, the community of Highmore suffering significant damage, winds there topping 100 miles per hour. Recent rains have reduced the amount of drought or abnormal dryness in North Dakota. According to the latest drought monitor, 32% of the state is experiencing dry conditions. That's down from nearly 50% of North Dakota last week. Most of that is concentrated in western North Dakota, with a small area evident in the southern Red River Valley. Meanwhile, 88% of South Dakota dealing with some form of drought. The only exceptions in northeastern South Dakota, Brown, McPherson, and Marshall counties. And there's another area in northwest North Dakota that is drought-free. 72% of Minnesota facing abnormally dry or droughty conditions. It's a small improvement over last week. Summer temperatures are creating favorable conditions for harmful blue-green algae in livestock water sources. Jake Galbraith with the NDSU Extension says hot weather and excess nutrients can trigger the toxic algae blooms.
Is, you know, what we call blue-green algae or cyanobacteria, is that when we get into these hot summer months, we can see concentration of nutrients in some of our bodies of water, whether those are sloughs, lakes, ponds, stock ponds, things like that. And if we get enough concentration, sometimes we can see an overgrowth of these algae. And these algae, they can also, certain species will produce what are called cyanotoxins, which can have really negative impacts on our livestock, as well as, you know, potentially be a threat to human health as well.
Crops are advancing rapidly. Mustang Seeds field agronomist Brian Turnus is based in the South Dakota, southern Minnesota region, and says corn there in the vegetative stage, but should be tasseling within a couple weeks.
Well, we're coming into that quick growth stage, or quick growth for the corn, and that, you know, we're going to be seeing some potential challenges if the storms keep up with the high winds. You know, there's always that potential for green snap as we get into that quick growth stage there. Any corn, we can face that challenge if hit with a strong wind at the wrong time of their development.
With crops responding to improved weather, Wolfert, North Dakota farmer Chris Brossart says attention is now shifting to timely weed control.
They've kind of turned the corner, and you know, the wheat is just starting to head out. A lot of it here probably in the next 10 days will be time for fungicide on it. Soybeans are just starting to flower, and they've, you know, kind of turned the corner in the corn, the same thing. Yeah, I think we were just needing a little bit of rain to kind of get everything moving along, and now hopefully we catch some sunshine, and things will kind of progress pretty fast.
With rising temperatures, heat stress becomes a concern for cattle. NDSU Extension livestock specialist Rachel Gibbs warns what that can do to your livestock.
Heat stress in cattle occurs when THI, or temperature humidity index, gets within a severe range where those cattle are most susceptible. And so what that means is the heat load that they're experiencing from external factors like temperature and humidity and internal factors like metabolic heat production outweigh its ability to dissipate that heat effectively. And so what happens then is several different things, but when heat stress occurs, we have an increase in respiratory rate, an increase in rectal temperature, and that animal is really struggling to dissipate all of this extra heat that it's incurring.
This week in weather.